Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something many are curious about, the complete guide to the stages of beard growth and how to optimize them. We've pulled together a ton of info from guides, from research, all to help you figure out that journey from clean-shaven to, well, a magnificent beard. Our mission? Simple. Pull out the key bits of knowledge, the stuff you really need, whether you're growing, maintaining, or just, you know, appreciating a good beard. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is how common the desire for a great beard is, but also how many challenges and myths surround it. It's definitely more than just putting the razor down. It takes patience, the right care, and honestly, understanding the whole process. Our sources really hammer home that knowing the science, knowing the steps that empowers you to get the best results for your own beard, turns it from just hair into like a real statement.
Makes total sense. And every beard starts, well, clean shaven, right? So week zero.
Yeah.
Before anything even shows up, what's that one crucial thing people often miss about prepping their skin?
Right, that clean shaven start. It's way more strategic than most think. It's not just about being clean. Think of it like preparing the ground before planting. Exfoliation is key. People think it's just for smooth skin, but it actually clears the way for the hair. Clogged pores, they're a nightmare when new hair tries to push through, leads to ingrown hairs, discomfort, sometimes worse than the itch later on. And yeah, a solid skincare routine, cleansing, moisturizing, that's non-negotiable, keeps the skin hydrated, ready. It really does set the stage for a healthier grow out.
Okay, so laying the groundwork is vital.
Yeah.
Then week one hits, the stubble phase, and that infamous beard itch starts. Is there like a common mistake people make here that makes it even worse?
Oh, absolutely. That itch is the biggest early hurdle. You start seeing that mix of darker bristly hair, maybe some lighter vellus hair too. That's the sort of fine peach fuzz. The mistake, thinking the itch is just the hair, it's more the skin reacting and those sharp edges of the newly cut hair poking through. And the absolute worst thing you can do, scratch it.
Ah, easier said than done though.
Tell me about it. But scratching just makes it redder, more irritated, can even cause tiny tears. Bad news. The sources are clear. Resist. Use a good quality product designed to soothe the skin and soften those hairs right from the get-go. Keep up with gentle cleansers, moisturizers. Makes a huge difference.
Right. Resist the scratch. Got it. So moving into weeks 2-3, the patchy phase. This is where hope can start to fade for some, isn't it? What's the most important thing to remember when looking in the mirror and seeing those uneven spots?
It really is a critical point. People see patches and think, it's not working for me. But that early patchiness, totally normal, a common hurdle. It's influenced by so much genetics, definitely, but also hormones, what you eat, stress levels, even exercise. So the big advice from our research, don't compare your day 15 beard to someone else's year one beard. It's just not helpful.
Right. Avoid the comparison trap.
Exactly. And resist the urge to trim too much to try and even it out. You often just cut off the hairs that are finally getting some length. Patience is really the word here. Start using a beard comb gently to guide the hairs. And beard oil is crucial now. It moisturizes that skin underneath, eases discomfort, supports healthier growth. It helps those patches begin their journey to filling in. It's about nurturing it.
Nurturing, not rushing. I like that. Okay, so pushing past those first few weeks into months 1-3, how do we actively encourage those patches to fill in? What are the key actions?
This is where consistency really starts to show results. To help fill in those patches during months 1-3, you keep up, maybe even double down on beard balm and oil. They keep everything moisturized, hair and skin, prevents the dryness, the itch, creates that good environment for follicles. And don't underestimate grooming. Regular brushing isn't just for looks. It distributes the oils, stimulates blood flow, helps train the hair.
And trimming, you mentioned avoiding it earlier, but does light trimming come into play now?
Yeah, light trimming can actually help. Not to reduce length overall, but to snip off any split ends. Split ends can make the beard look thinner, less healthy. So a careful trim promotes a fuller appearance. But the main thing is sticking with a routine oil, balm, brushing. Persistence pays off for density.
Then we hit months 3-6. This sounds like a major turning point, developing real thickness and texture. You mentioned a burly and concentrated look potentially by week 6. Is that typical?
Turning point is a good way to put it. Yeah, around 6 weeks, you often get a much better sense of the beard's potential. That burly look starts emerging. And from month 3-6, that's really when you're defining the shape. The hair is definitely thicker, denser. You might still see variations in color, those distinguishable dark and light patches, but that's natural texture.
Okay, so you actually have something to work with now for styling.
Exactly. You can start properly shaping it, whether it's a goatee, full beard, whatever style you're aiming for. Grooming stays vital. Regular combing, brushing, consistent oil and balm use is key here too. The balm especially helps tame frizz, adds a bit of weight, helps hold that shape you're defining, gives it a more polished look.
So shape defined, looking good. How do we keep building that thickness as we approach the year mark, month 6, 12? Is it just more the same or are there new things to focus on?
It builds on the foundation, yeah, but with some refinement for achieving thickness, regular trims become even more important now. Maybe see a barber. It's not about losing length. It's about maintaining shape, getting rid of split ends before they travel up the hair shaft, and just promoting healthier, robust growth, like pruning a hedge to make it denser.
Oh, good analogy.
Beard oil is still your daily driver for moisture and healthy texture. Beard balm for styling and control. But now our sources strongly recommend adding a dedicated beard wash into the routine regularly.
Why specifically a beard wash? Can't you just use regular shampoo?
You could, but regular hair shampoo can be too harsh. It strips too many natural oils from the skin beneath your beard, leading to dryness and irritation. A proper beard wash cleans effectively but gently, preventing buildup of dirt and oil without causing problems. It's crucial for maintaining that healthy environment needed for thickness.
Gotcha. So dedicated wash is key. Now, the goal for many, the full beard. How long does that realistically take? And what's the defining feature? Like, when can you officially say, I have a full beard?
Reaching full beard potential, the time frame varies, but typically it's somewhere between 2 and 6 months for most guys. And the defining sign, it's pretty clear cut. Complete coverage of the cheeks, jaw, lip, and chin. No significant gaps, no skin showing through in the areas you weren't covered. When you hit that point, often around the 6 month mark for many, where it's dense, well-defined, no exposed skin, that's it. You've made it. It signifies the hair growth cycle has completed across that whole area.
A real milestone. So once you've achieved that glorious full beard, how do you keep it glorious? What's the maintenance secret?
Yeah. Full beard maintenance from month 6 onward is all about consistent care. Those regular trims are still crucial for shape. You can use a trimmer or scissors if you're skilled, or see a barber. Washing every few days, maybe every 3 days or so, with that dedicated beard wash is vital. Keeps it clean without stripping those necessary oils.
And conditioning.
Definitely. Regular brushing helps distribute your natural oils, prevents knots, enhances fullness. And using a beard conditioner or maybe a beard butter adds extra moisture and softness. Consistency is the name of the game here. Keeps it looking good, prevents tangles, maintains that majestic appearance.
Majestic, I like it. Okay, yeah. But what about going beyond a year? The epic beard. Yeah. Here's where it gets really interesting. What's that like?
The epic beard. Once you pass the year mark, length really becomes the defining characteristic. What's fascinating is our sources say a beard can theoretically grow indefinitely, or it might hit a natural terminal length based on your specific genetics. Some guys just naturally stop growing length after a certain point.
Surrey becomes optional, maybe.
For length, yes, potentially. But the grooming, that remains paramount. Maybe even more intense. You're dealing with potential tangles, making sure it stays clean and healthy down to the tips. Maybe needing specialized tools, different oils or balms, perhaps even leave-in conditioners. So what does this all mean? It just underscores how personal the journey is. Genetics, lifestyle, it all plays a part. And for the truly epic beard, it almost becomes a lifestyle choice in itself.
Okay, we've covered the journey from stubble to epic, but let's step back. What's actually driving this growth? Let's get into the science behind it all.
Right, the factors influencing beard growth. It really boils down to 3 core things that are all interconnected: genetics, hormones, and lifestyle. Genetics are huge. They significantly determine density, how even the growth is, whether a full beard is even likely for you. It explains why you see different beard characteristics across ethnic groups, like the thicker beards often seen in men of Mediterranean descent. It really highlights why setting realistic expectations based on your family history is important.
So you can't just wish a patchy beard into thickness if the genetics aren't there.
Largely, no. You can optimize what you have, but genetics sets the potential. Then hormones come in, specifically testosterone and dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. They directly affect growth speed and the thickness of the hairs. Interestingly, the research mentions things like weight training, sprint workouts. They may give testosterone levels a bit of a boost, which could potentially help, but it's not a magic bullet.
Yeah, the third factor.
Lifestyle. This is a big umbrella covering diet, exercise, sleep, stress, all have a significant impact, which we can dive into more.
Okay, so genetics, hormones, lifestyle. But beyond those, you mentioned the hair itself has its own rhythm, the hair growth cycle. Why is knowing about that cycle important?
Ah, yes, the cycle. Understanding it helps you work with your body, not against it. It has three phases. First is the anagen phase, that's the active growth stage. It can last 2 to 6 years, sometimes longer. Hair grows about half an inch a month, influenced by age, hormones. Then comes the catagen phase. This is transitional. Growth slows, the follicle shrinks, blood supply cuts off, it's getting ready to shed. Finally, the telogen phase, the resting stage. Lasts maybe 2 to 4 months. The old hair falls out, sheds as a new hair starts pushing up from below, beginning the anagen phase again.
Shedding is normal.
Totally normal. Understanding the cycle helps you, one, optimize your grooming to align with these phases, and two, not panic when you see hairs in the sink. It's just part of the natural process. And this raises an important question. How can we actually use this knowledge, work with these natural cycles and factors?
Exactly. Which leads us perfectly into optimization. Knowing the science, knowing the stages, how do we actively optimize things for the best possible beard? What can we control?
Well, you control quite a bit, actually, starting with overall health. Your beard often mirrors what's going on inside. So diet, exercise, sleep, they're foundational. With diet, you need sufficient nutrients. Think biotin, zinc, protein, B vitamins. They're building blocks for hair. So things like fish, chicken, eggs, yogurt, spinach, broccoli are fantastic.
Okay, eat your greens for your beard.
Pretty much. Then exercise. Regular activity boosts blood circulation, getting those nutrients to the follicles. And like we said, it can give testosterone a nudge. Weightlifting, sprints are often mentioned, and sleep, crucial. That's when your body does its repair work. During sleep, body temp drops slightly, blood flow to follicles increases, more nutrients get delivered. Sleep deprivation, it messes with hormones, hinders growth. Bad news for beards.
Makes sense. Any other tricks for boosting circulation?
Yeah, the sources mention things like regular facial massage or even microneedling in specific patchy areas can potentially help improve that local blood flow.
Interesting. Okay, so we've covered the internal health side. What about externally? What products are truly essential? Okay, let's unpack this one last time.
The essential toolkit. High-quality grooming products make a real difference. Let's break it down. First, beard oil. Cannot stress this enough. It moisturizes both the hair and the skin underneath. Reduces dryness, itch, dandruff. Makes the beard look and feel thicker, smoother, healthier. It's fundamental.
But oil is non-negotiable.
Pretty much, especially early on and for maintenance. Then, beard balm. It's thicker than oil, provides some hold, helps you shape and control the beard, especially as it gets longer. It also adds nourishment and seals in moisture. Think of it as a leave-in conditioner with styling benefits.
Okay, oil for health, balm for control, and extra conditioning. What else?
Beard wash. We talked about this. Using a dedicated wash is crucial. Cleans effectively without stripping natural oils like harsh shampoos can. Prevents buildup, minimizes itch. The sources mention Beard Brand Beard Wash as one example tailored for this. And beyond those daily or near daily items, maybe a weekly deep condition with something like beard butter or a hydrating mask, especially for longer, more established beards.
So as we wrap this up, it's clear growing a great beard isn't passive. It's commitment. Right? Mm-hmm. Patience, understanding the stages, using the right care, knowing these phases, knowing how to optimize that seems to be the core message for getting that full, healthy beard.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, your beard journey is really tied to your overall well-being. It's almost like an external sign of internal health and good habits, a healthy lifestyle, using those quality grooming products consistently, sticking to the care routines. Those are truly the keys. It unlocks your beard's potential, sure. But it also reflects well on your overall approach to self-care.
That's a brilliant way to frame it, a reflection of overall wellness. So after diving deep into everything from the clean shaven start to epic lengths and all the science and tips in between, what aspect of your beard journey will you focus on next?